Welcome to the call. I cannot hear the music in the background. Don, if you can hear me, can you tune it up a little bit so we can hear it on the phone line? Thank you. And so I believe that we are live on BBS Radio currently. If you have tuned in over the internet, welcome to the call. We are still 8 minutes hour. And people keep calling in on the phone line. Good evening, welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Hello, hi, it's the Francis calling in from Compton, California.
Hi, welcome to the call. How are you, Francis?
Good. I'm going to compliment you on your hosting the group meeting we did on Sunday. You did an excellent job.
Thank you. Yeah.
Very,
very
smooth. All right. Hi, is Wynn still in Florida?
I believe he was back home yesterday, but I'm not positive.
Wow.
How is Joanne?
Joanne, she still, don't think there has much situation. Good evening, and welcome. Say your name and location.
Donna, formerly from Great Falls, Montana, now in Alabama.
Welcome to the call.
Winston Sedona.
All right. And I believe we had somebody else join in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Barbara Caldwell.
Hi, Barbara. How are you doing?
Great. How are you today?
Yes, I'm doing well. Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Hi, same to you.
So much for which to be grateful.
Donna from Great Falls. Did you say you are in Alabama now?
We're in Alabama now. We had trouble with the truck and had to wind up stopping in Alabama.
Oh.
And I think we're going to stay here.
A couple of years?
Possibly. Who knows? You know, sometimes things happen for a reason, and then it works out, you know?
Yes.
Well, Alabama, Atlanta, they both begin with an A, so...
That's true. I'm in
Huntsville. And it's an A as well.
Yeah.
AA.
I'm in Huntsville right now. That's where all the aerospace stuff is.
All right.
Sleeping on the floor of my friend's daughter's house.
Any idea how long you're going to stay there?
Hello, this is Ray from Nevada.
Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here, Ray.
We're looking for a house now or apartment now, so, you know, maybe within a couple weeks.
Wow. Well, good luck.
If anybody else joined in, welcome to the call, and if you want to do so, please say your name and location. Good evening, welcome to the call, please say your name and location.
Hello, hi, this is David Mesa.
Hey, Dave.
How are you?
Hi, Dave.
Pretty good. Hey, Donna.
Hi.
Glad to hear you're on.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear you.
That sounds the same as always, I think, right?
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
Hey, Wynn.
Hi. I'm not answering any questions. I'll be back in a moment.
Good evening, and welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. People at the same time, if you want to do so, please say your name and location.
Phil.
Hi, Phil.
Hi, how are you? Hi.
Good.
Hi.
Glad you made it.
Good evening, Joel and Southern.
Is that Joel?
Yes, it is.
How are you, Joel?
I am doing well. How are you?
I'm just fantastic. Thanks, man. Good evening and welcome to the BBS call. Please say your name and location.
Good evening, hi, this is Colleen from Vancouver.
Colleen, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Hi, thanks for being here. Good to have Vancouver represented. Good evening, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Morgan in California.
Hi, Morgan. Welcome to the call. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine, thank you. And you? And how are all my brothers and sisters?
They all love you.
Doing well.
Believe.
Thank you.
I've had somebody else join in. Welcome to the name and location. Good evening, rock and roll. Gonna do.
How is the wind, by the way, do I know?
No current news. Evening, welcome to the conference.
Hey. Hello. Michael speaking, Water Village.
Hey, call back. If I mute your line, that means that you have background noise.
Do I have background noise?
No, because you're not muted.
Okay. This is Michael from Water Village.
Yeah, hi, Michael. Thanks for being here, man.
Thanks for being there for me.
All right.
You know what happened the last Sunday? Last Sunday, I was listening to the program, and I went into a real deep sleep. And then I woke up and I was hearing nothing, so I put on the replay. Three times I went to sleep at the same point. And then afterwards, my sore throat was cleared. I haven't had nothing but good stuff all the way since that day.
All right.
I wasn't working, I'm now working.
All right.
I'm working. All kind of people.
Hi,
are seeing
this
me.
Is Olga from Florida.
Who is that from Florida?
Olga.
Olga.
Olga. Hi, Olga.
Hi. Glad to be here.
All right. Thank you for being here. And more people joined in here lately. Welcome, everybody. You're going to introduce your name and location.
DC from Burbank, California.
Steve.
This is Kent from Portland, Oregon.
Steve, and Ben Rock, the call.
Susan in Delaware.
Hi, Susan. Good evening. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
John from Aspen, Colorado.
Hi, Don. Welcome to the call. And more people have joined in. Welcome, everybody, and please say your name and location.
Hi, Don.
Good evening. Welcome to the call, Kim. Good evening. Welcome. Say your name and location.
Taylor, where am I? Missouri.
All right. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. Am I early?
Yes. Yes.
701.
Hold on. I'm going to mute the line here momentarily. Can we?
Yeah.
All right. I hear you.
Welcome, everybody.
Yes. I will do the star 8.
Yes. Faith is the only thing we have left to validate something. We try to validate it inside ourselves. And in this case, we have experience, we have intelligence, we have communication, we have miracles, we have feeling of energies. And so you have to just hang in with it long enough. And right now we have so much stuff available on the web, on spiritchannel.net, thanks to Bogdan, and all of our transcribers. We have a lot of people that I'm not giving enough credit to who are spending hours transcribing all these things so you guys can read them. And they're doing it because they believe it's valuable to you. And I keep getting emails from people that are telling me that. So, you know, this is like a university education on other dimensions on the Spirit Channel. And as some of you have learned, this is not about information. Even though there's incredible information, it's about energy. It's about connection. It's about feeling the energy. It's about going through your barriers. And as we listen to these forces in other dimensions, one word is entrainment. Their energy comes through everything they do and that we partake of. And that by paying attention, you start to feel their energy, or you have that potential. And sometimes it takes a while because you are coming to this with your past, with your belief patterns, with your traumas, whatever. And sometimes when you look at this for the first time, you can't see it for what it is because you're seeing it through your patterns. It's like there's a saying that goes, when a holy man sees a pickpocket, when a pickpocket sees a holy man, all he sees is his pockets. So I'm not saying that you guys are pickpockets, not, no way. But, you know, it just means that as you approach something, most often you see it according to your view as opposed to what it actually is. And sometimes you have to watch it for a while to get it down. So we started asking questions quite some time ago. We had a series on how the Elohim created the universe. And I didn't know what to expect, you know. On some of these calls, particularly in the past, I said, can I really ask that in front of people? And I've learned to trust Terry's communications. I've learned to trust that her intent is very high, her humility is very high, and her sense of service is very high, and that usually what comes through her has a purity to it, okay? And it doesn't feel like mixed polarity. It just feels like, essentially, sometimes there might be some bleed-through. We're going to have to do a whole show on Dr. Marsha, because he happens to be Terry's favorite alternative health practitioner, and just coincidentally, he happens to be the Elohim's favorite health practitioner. So there might be bleed through there, but it doesn't matter because it's all good because Dr. Marshall is good. And regardless, we've had a lot of people who have been referred to him that have said good things about him. So we're going to make a quick review before we go into the session today and give you an idea of what we've learned so far so you don't have to feel left out. So there was a time billions of years ago when there was no physical universe. There was a time when it was just chaos. Now, there's this one mystery that we can't solve. Somehow, chaos became aware of itself. That's the one we can't figure out. How did chaos become aware of itself? But it did, and it had an awareness, and it was just one awareness. It didn't think of itself as God, but it became lonely. And it said, I'd like other awarenesses. And it found that in some mysterious way, it could subdivide its energy, like an amoeba, and suddenly there were two, and then there were four, and then there were hundreds, and then there were millions. And those subdivisions became known as the Elohim. And they could commiserate with each other, they could be friends, but they were pure energy. They didn't have bodies. And nothing lasted. Everything was energy. So if they would think of something, it would be there, and then it would disappear until the next thing came up. So there was a constant building up of new projections, you could call them projections. And they could see, feel, whatever the word is, each other's projections, but nothing persisted. So then the idea came up of, how can we make something persist? And they were energy. And without going into the big details, you can go into our archives, because this is a fascinating series of talks, how the Elohim created the universe. They learned to concentrate their energies, and they would work together at doing it. They would all focus energies and frequencies, and it would create, keep in mind, there was no time, there was no space. There was time, there had to be time, because existence requires time. It requires a before and an after. So there was the beginnings of time, but there was no space. And but time was arbitrary. It was constantly changing, moving at different speeds. And so they started to collaborate on sending frequencies out. And two of them would send a frequency out, and there would be a node, and that node would become a new point in space-time, and a point of creation, and the beginnings of galaxies and planets. And initially, this whole exercise was a game. It was like an aquarium. It's like, wow, look at that. This is the way they described it. And they were excited at creating persistence out of nothing. And eventually, they created the first animal life, which was, they said, was amoeba. And we have a whole audio, probably 2 years ago, on how they created amoebas and how they were excited when amoebas shared energy with each other, which was the first sex. And so it was obviously a very long time, but it wasn't a long time in their realm because time moved at a different speed and things were evolving. Everything had free will. So everything in the universe is alive and everything has free will, as we even learned in the Carlo Rucker raw material as we talked about for the last 2 weeks, where the sun has its level of jurisdiction. The solar system has its level of jurisdiction. And in the raw material, they call it the logos, the logi, the sub-logi, and humans are sub-sub-logi. And we all have free will. Why did they give us free will? Well, because they'd have to pay a lot of attention to us if they didn't. And they just wanted to let it go where it goes. They were creating this hopefulness of beings that would grow into Godhead, grow into spirit. And some of the Elohim came into this realm. Initially, they would come into this realm and they would work with the Elohim in the other realm, and they'd be engineering DNA. And then some of the Elohim that came into this realm, and many of them, got trapped here. And once they got trapped, they realized they had a lot of power over the indigenous people that were occupying this realm, and that it was more fun in this realm.
Volume up, please.
Is that better now? Is that better?
Perfect. Perfect. Thank
okay.
you.
Sorry,
I didn't mean to interrupt you. Sorry.
That's okay. It was more fun in this realm than you had slaves, because this realm took a lot of work to be in. And so they started creating slaves. And they lost their connection over time with the celestial Elohim. And if you read the Bible, it says the sons of God mated with the daughters of men. So now we have these descended Elohim having sex with humans. And, you know, a couple of interesting things that I never heard before, that in the course of this, how the Elohim created this realm, was I asked them the question, so where do new souls come from? When there's a new being in this realm, and by the way, once this thing had its own momentum, a lot of the new beings that would end up here were engineered by the descended Elohim, including humans, okay? And they were very advanced, but they weren't God. They never were God. Even the one infinite creator, which was the first cause, was not God, not in the conventional sense. The universe was God, and we were all little cells in the universe, each of us everything, and it was one being. But it was the subgroups of all that is that were administering it, the Elohim and the Ra groups, and maybe others, but they were trying to make it all work, and they watched it go negative. Maybe it got more negative than they wished. And the thing about it is that it's playing out down here. And it's like guys like me are pulling people into the positive so they can hold the space so they can make the connections with the Elohim and the Ra groups and the law of one. That's the game. And if enough people make connection, the positive wins. And if they don't, the negative wins. It's as simple as that. And it's free will choice. So it's like your free will choice realizing that. How many people have you told about our calls? Okay? How many people have you reached out to? That's the game. If you're not doing it, we're doing it. And if there's not enough people, the negative wins. That's not what a lot of New Age people say. And they're saying it's a predestined game. The positive's going to win. Well, quite frankly, I hope they're right, because I'm not attached to this point of view. I'm just telling you, I can't validate it. I'm just telling you what we've learned from talking to them over such a long period of time. And so I started to say, at some point I said, where does a new soul come from? In other words, how does that work? Is the Elohim sitting up there saying, oh, we got a body, we got to manufacture a new soul, and boom, there it goes? No, it's not how it works. DNA in the new being in this realm, the DNA attracts energy from the great pool of undifferentiated light and attracts it around it, pulls it in, and that becomes the individuation. And then when the being dies, the individuation remains and comes into another being. And so now you have all these individuations being, and it happens automatically. Apparently it happens automatically. It doesn't take any monitoring for this to occur. That's the way the design worked. So according to the DNA, and if somebody's engineering DNA, they have a lot of control over what comes in. And so we all started from nothing, and we attached to some DNA down here, and we became something, and the energy continued in the process that is normally called reincarnation. And as the DNA gets more evolved, the nature of the energy surrounding the DNA gets more evolved. And we've asked questions about that. approximately is, you know, there's 12 strands of DNA. Two strands are considered real, and 10 strands are considered junk. Well, what I've learned is that each strand of DNA is like an antenna to the greater universe, or a microcosm to the greater universe. So when you have one strand open, you're in your first chakra. When you have your second strand open, you're in your sexual chakra. And when you have your third strand open, you're in your heart, you're in your power chakra, your solar plexus. And when you have your fourth strand open, you're in your heart chakra, which is compassion and empathy. And then it goes fifth, sixth, seventh. Seventh one is the top of your head. Now, most people are working on their fourth chakra. And in order to graduate this realm, they need it half open, slightly more than half, so they can evolve to the next level. And so that's up to the seventh chakra, or the seventh strand of DNA. Now, the next five strands of DNA connect to the greater universe. It connects outside of your body into different expansions of the greater universe. And how do you expand, how do you open a DNA string? Well, you be in the presence of someone or something or some group that has that energy open, and you be in it long enough, and it opens your energy, and eventually that strand becomes open. So those of you who are coming into our Sunday grid healing and feel that expansion outside of your body when we do that, guess what? You are expanding into the universe. Over time, the energy is going to hold with your DNA strands in such a way that they just stay open and you can hold that space. But in the meantime, it's like new. It's a new experience, and so you need to have it over and over again before it integrates. Now, it's probably more than you need to graduate this realm. But the other thing is, just because you're open to all there, that doesn't mean your heart's open. You still need to get your heart open, because that's the next level. Now, you don't have to go to the next density of the heart chakra. Apparently, people are going to return to the highest level they can touch into in this period of shift. So that is my rough approximate explanation. And I'm going to go back and I'm going to ask some questions about this.
You seem a little bit too close to the microphone.
I'm too close to the mic?
Yes.
Kevin, is my sound a little worse this week?
No, it's okay. It was just earlier, before somebody requested to be louder, you were too close to the mic already, but then it got worse.
All right. Thank you for letting me know. Terry, are you there? No, Terry?
Yeah, I'm here.
Did you just unmute the phone?
Yeah, I did. But you sound kind of muffled, or like you're in a box.
I sound like I'm in a box today?
Yeah.
You know what? I haven't been able to find my good headset, my little wireless headset. I don't know how it disappeared. It's so big, but it's disappeared for the moment. But I've already done all my talking. I'm just going to be asking questions, and hopefully I'll turn the room apart so I find it tomorrow. Mother God, we ask for the presence of the light, surround, protect, tell myself and every person on this line, and everyone in the replays and on the internet, and that any activity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted to the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves and flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of the universe, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls, and we invite those sources with a positive service to others, honoring the law of one to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to, and anything not of that nature must leave now, and we open it up to our sources to give their opening comments and perhaps make any corrections on the way that I recalled the history of this particular topic. Let's go on. Thank you.
We greet you in the love light of the One Infinite Creator. This is the 19th of November, 2012. And we are particularly focused in the area of Sedona, Arizona at this time. And we expand out and we look at the areas outlying the United States and beyond. We see the beginning of winter. We see cold areas. We see blowing snow farther north. We greet each and every one of you who is within the sound of the voice. And we are non-linearly present with each of you who wishes to make contact or wishes us near. Do you have questions?
Well, the first question was, did I give a good approximation? In my quick view of the history.
Thank you. Some of the things that you spoke of in that, in the beginning, there was awareness. However, to have awareness, one must have something to be aware of. So when there was two manifestations, there began to be something that each manifestation could then be aware of. Each intelligence could then be aware of the awareness of the other. And as such, they began to have their own experience. This was the beginning of experience. Then each individual having their own experience, which was different than the other's experience, then began to have the need for sharing, the need for communication, the need for love between the two, a need for nurturing, a need for caring, a need for the fulfillment of knowing that another had the experience of connection with them. Then as individuals' experiences became more diverse, it became harder for some to connect with others. However, at the core, the main desire of the fulfillment of true connection remains. Those are some of our comments.
At that time, did the subgroupings start to create groups among themselves, like clubs or sub-affiliations? I know that now, when it's been described that the Elohim are a number of subgroups which each have a particular role or function in the administration of the universe. When did that start to happen? Before or after the beginning of physicality?
It is a continuous flow from one thing to another, and the individuals then naturally fell into their own place as they saw needs or as they were creative in making things happen, and things were a natural outcome of the individual's desires and intentions. So it was from the beginning when there were one awareness noticing another awareness, when individuals began to take a role. The role developed over time, and each thing was a natural outflow of the other, going back to the desires and intentions of the individuals involved.
Were there ever any arguments about how things should be done, or was it always obvious the next thing?
Is individuals developed a different, had different experience than each would develop a group, and the group within itself would have major agreements. However, another group might have major disagreements with the first group, to the point even of warring. However, this was after there was physicality, and physicality then even became fought over. Before there was physicality, there was a real camaraderie, as there was not the divergence into motives that were so self-centered that it excluded others.
Can you share what some of the groups, the subgroups of the Elohim are, and their different functions? I know we've had the Council of On identified, and that it's the Council of On that is identifying itself with the Ra'an name. And the Council of On was said to be, explained to be, a translator of the language of the higher realms into the language of a particular planet or sublanguage on a planet. And so what are some of the other groups, and what do they do?
There are mathematical languages that we speak, the language of connection, the language of rotation, the actual geometries that we project, that we within our abilities to send or to impart, we impart the mathematical constructions which contain hyperdimensional geometries, which then we are able to propel ourselves to the vicinity of other groups who are working within focusing mechanisms, developing potential models for focusing mechanisms called life, and seeing which are most appropriate for space, for survival within the areas of the galactic we would say union, but we do not mean this in terms of people. We mean this in terms of space and the creation of location that then could be occupied by these focusing mechanisms. We work in terms not of three dimensions, but in terms of astral projection. And when one makes an astral projection, it within the projection, inherent in it, has the essence of life, the essence of manifestation, the essence of awareness that is then able to connect with other focusing mechanisms via astral telepathy, via just knowing. There are other divisions, such as the coordination of frequencies so that they harmoniously can blend to create matter, and they can come together not as a focusing mechanism in the terms of a form, so much as a focusing mechanism to congeal a vibration that then can respond to are there focusing mechanisms of a similar sort and can be available in or manifest in harmonics of each other and can make a delightful and aware music of the spirit.
Thank you. Hi, just excuse me, let's not break this frequency, but hi, am I clear now? Can you hear me okay?
You have a hum in the background slightly, but you are clearer.
Yeah, it's a lot better than what it was.
I'm getting complaints, or I got some emails, but they were back from people telling me they're having a hard time hearing.
You have a hum in the background.
If we can wait just 1 second, I'll switch to another headset and see if it gets better. I have it. Just take 20 seconds, just a moment.
The hum has gone. The hum is back. There is a hum,
is that
perhaps
a hum? Here.
Connected to your
can you hear me?
Touching of something. Yes, we can hear you. However, there is an electronic hum when you connect.
All right. I'm going to just talk through the computer microphone.
We do not hear you. Give us a moment. There are other areas, such as the translation unit, which is able to congeal the intelligence from other areas of our groups. We have another area, which is grace, and in this area of grace, we then can help unlock lots of geometries that prevent individuals moving on their path. For grace to take effect, the individual needs to have the intention beyond the lockup of whatever dysfunction is happening. They need to have the intention to bypass the lockup and to let the lockup go. Then grace can move in and can extend through the areas of dysfunction and can help disintegrate the laptop geometries. Well, we think in terms of geometry. We think in terms of interlocking patterns. And the interlocking pattern can flow, or if they become misshapen, then they lock up. Misshapen lockup frequencies can come when an individual experiences conflicts within oneself. Conflicts can be of a lower nature, but they can extend into a very great refinement of problems. Conflicts, in a sense, are problems where there is one energy and a resistant energy. There is one idea and a conflicting idea, and they are butting heads against each other. This creates a lockup of flow, so that flow cannot happen. The individual is in a moving universe, a flowing universe, and to stay present with all of his body machinery and all of his mind machinery takes flow to have all of these conflicts that lock up and create problems for an individual. It can be removed to the degree that the conflicts are removed and the person has a clear signal of how to proceed without worrying. Worrying is the sense of lockup. Will this happen? Will that happen? It's a lockup of two different things, that would potential of two. And one needs to be able to get to focus upon the one and to move through from one thing to the next, to move with the time, to move with what is happening, not necessarily to go along with everything, but to accept that it is happening. Once one accepts it, one can dismiss it, even if they accept it well enough, and then move to the flow that they wish to achieve, the path they wish to move on. Do you hear us?
I do hear you. And am I clear right now?
No.
This is not clear. Okay. Just a moment.
So grace is another department that we have, and they are at a different frequency than the translation unit. The translation unit, which we are, is of a lower vibration, which is like a step-down transformer to connect the higher realms of the Elohim, stepping down through the translation unit, both in English and in vibration, to a lower vibration to further connect with the third density realm and to move into awareness within the third density realm, to create awareness where awareness is needed in your third density realm.
So, as I get it, there is a flow that has to begin from the human who is able to send a signal without conflict into the higher realms. If the human has got fear, if they have internal divisions, if they're stuck in relationships with a lot of drama, then their signal doesn't get through.
And then if their signal is blocked, yes.
And the signal starts to get through, and as it gets through, something picks it up. And then if it goes through a certain criteria where it can go up to grace, and grace is able to work with the geometries of it and to change something that downloads into a physical transformation, something that looks like a miracle. Now, when grace does that, do the mathematicians come in also and help to create that flow, or is it just some escape from grace to?
We could not understand all of what you said. We go back to the point about criteria. A criteria is not an exactly right word. It's like, does the intention ring like a bell? Does the intention create a vibration that moves through all of everything and rings grace's bell? Can the vibration of the intention, the pure desire, can it resonate? And if it does, then grace will resonate back and will be called and will come to help.
Thank you. Am I clear now? Is that okay?
You're better.
I'm very sorry about this microphone tonight. We know there are, like, many, many populated planets in the universe. Does the Elohim pay attention to, like, thousands of planets simultaneously? Are there enough Elohim to do that? Are other planets calling on the Elohim? Are there many planets that are separated?
We pay attention to vibration. There are many planets that are not so muddled as the Earth realm. Yet we pay great attention and have great bonding with those planets. With the Earth planet, there is much intention, counterintention, and much being wound up within one's own intentions and counterintentions and problems. And so that does not ring through to us as much as some of the other planets.
Could we say the Andromeda system has a very good connection with the Elohim, for example?
There are planets within the Andromeda system that ring through like a bell, and there is great joy there, and there is great beauty there, both in form and in actions, beautiful actions between individuals.
And how about, for example, the Sirius? Do they connect with the Elohim?
You're talking about Sirius?
Sirius, yeah.
It is more, has some more of the vibrations of like Earth. It is more planetary-wise has more problems and there is more of a different sort of life which outshadows in the outshadows some of the similar life forms to your planet. There is an energy there of a different sort that is not as connecting to the higher realms, but is more within that planetary manifestation.
How about Arcturus?
Give us a moment. there are some primitive societies, and there are some advanced technological societies. They do not have the spiritual resonance as some of the planets on the and in Andromeda.
Thank you. Andromeda is one of the more higher locations.
Yes.
It's been, we have groups, this will be my last question. We have groups here in other realms that are considered service itself, reptilians, whatever. Are they offshoots of the Elohim that have mutated into their present state?
There are some generally those life forms start out very pure, and then as they have experiences happen to them and they pick up adverse wave forms, it is like a computer that gets corrupted, and they begin to experience blockages that they can't get past, angers that they can't get through, and they have a tendency then to have a period of working through those angers, trying to figure out how to break through, even if it is by force, and then they can begin, and some experiences after they have lost sight of the higher realms can begin to work in the area of greed to great extent and think of themselves in their survival and their lost.
Thank you. I think we're at 6:59, and it's time to close this call. I'd like to ask all of us to bless our planet, ask our sources to work with us, to bring energy of upliftment to this planet, to ourselves, and to our neighborhoods, and to our families, to our healings. And I thank you all for being here and supporting this work, and I'm going to unmute everybody. Some of you on Wednesday when we answer questions.